We're so familiar with this story. And probably many of you have in your home or in your dining room that picture painted by Leonardo da Vinci with the Last Supper. It has become for so many of us kind of familiar icon of that last night. And as a result, we hardly give it a second thought, much less wonder about what's really going on at that table. There had to have been some momentary relief as those people at the table escaped the crowds who were always chasing around after Jesus, pushing and shoving, wanting to get near the master. And probably even more relief to think that for at least that night, they were not going to be under the critical eye and the watchful eye of those scribes and Pharisees whose questions and threats and accusations were getting more and more menacing day by day. So around that table, they must have said, wow, for just tonight, we got a little peace here. These were the ones around that table that Jesus had chosen. They were fragile disciples, forever getting things wrong, full of themselves, their ambitions, and way overconfident about their courage. They were a group with a kind of shady background, and among them are two who are going to betray him. And the truth be told, they look just like us. And we look a lot like them. Because we get things wrong. We're full of ourselves and our ambitions. We're fragile and we're not terribly consistent or dependable when it comes to faith and putting it into practice. We're very quick to jump up and recite the creed, but then something always seems to go wrong when it comes to living it. Nevertheless, like them, we are chosen. We've been called. And he knows us just as well as he knew them. And even so, as it says in this gospel, he loves us to the end. Now, to me, there's a double meaning to those words, to the end. It can mean in terms of chronology, like when time runs out. But it can also mean until there's nothing left, which isn't exactly the same thing. This quality of love beyond human imagination is really amazing when you think about it. The love and knowledge of Jesus flows from words into actions as he then washes their feet and gives them directions to do likewise. Now make no mistake about it. What I'm about to do for you and with you is not reenacting the Last Supper. I'm not about to pretend that I'm Jesus and you are the apostles. We're going to do what he asked us to do, what we are as a church, because that's what the church does. That's what the church is. It is a servant that's not greater than the master. In his talk to them, he says that he's doing this so that they could come to believe that I am, which quite simply means that he is revealing the love of the Father for all of them, for every one of them, all 12. He did this before Judas left. Get that right, okay? It's a striking detail that we sometimes miss because we're just too familiar with the story. And he shared at that table a morsel, it says, with Judas. To me, this is the final exquisite gesture of love. He gives that dipped morsel to the most despised character in the gospel's whole narrative. This is a never-failing love that it's not exclusive, or selective. Everybody. This is a love that reaches out, in this case with Judas, to someone who, in a sense, is the kind of archetype of evil. And in doing so, he reveals the unique love of God the Father, who loves this world unconditionally. So by washing their feet, by sharing that morsel of bread, he accepts those failed, yet loved disciples. You don't have to be a good guy to get God's love. The departure of Judas then suddenly sets in motion the events promised by Jesus by which he would show them love to the end, till his death. So this is the message that Jesus of John's Gospel leaves with his disciples who gather around this table on the night before he died. It is ultimately and completely one huge, unmistakable expression of what he says to us tonight who gather at this table. We've got to see that we have been loved till the end by one that we have ignored and betrayed and denied. And so we suddenly come face to face with the remarkable understanding of God, of Jesus, and of his self-giving love for us. We are the ones he sends, no matter how inadequate or how incompletely or inconsistently or incompetently we behave. We are the ones he loves to the end. We're the ones he's chosen and the ones he has sent for one reason only, to bear witness to that love that's beyond human imagination. But you know what? It's not a love beyond human experience. And we're here for it.